This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows Friedman. It's day 229 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Israeli occupation forces attacked areas across the Gaza Strip this past week, from Beit Lahia, Jabalia, and Gaza City in the north, to Deir Balah in central Gaza, to Rafah and Khan Yunis in the south. On Monday, Israel bombed the Mashru neighborhood of Beit Lahia, killing and trapping people under the rubble. On Tuesday, an Israeli attack on Jabalia refugee camp, quote, ripped victims to pieces, leaving, quote, dismembered heads on the streets, witnesses and emergency crews recounted to Al Jazeera. On Saturday, medics told Reuters that 15 Palestinians were killed and dozens wounded as Israel bombed Jabalia. The Gaza Health Ministry and the Civil Emergency Service added that teams received dozens of calls about possible casualties but were unable to carry out any searches because of the ongoing ground offensive and aerial bombardment, Reuters reported. Journalist Hossam Shabbat tweeted on Sunday that, quote, the situation in Jabalia refugee camp continues to worsen. The camp has been under bombing and fire for the past 8 days. Many residents killed arrive at the hospital in small pieces, not as whole bodies. Families have to search through these body parts to identify their loved ones. In the south, residents east of Khan Yunis told Reuters on Tuesday that they were fleeing the town of Kuza after Israeli troops began an incursion on the eastern edge of the Gaza Strip, bulldozing across the border fence. Israeli airstrikes continued to pound areas of Rafah as people once again became forcibly displaced, sometimes many times over, within the last 2 weeks. The United Nations stated on Tuesday that more than 900,000 people, which is nearly 40% of the entire Gaza population, have been displaced, including 812,000 from Rafah and more than 100,000 in the north, just from May 6th to May 18th. Quote, displaced people from Rafah are currently seeking shelter in Khan Yunis and Deir Balah on any open land available, including access roads and agricultural land, as well as in damaged buildings that have not been structurally assessed, the United Nations stated. The Rafah crossing has remained closed for 2 weeks now, preventing the movement of both people and aid deliveries. On Monday, Edem Wasornu, the Director of Operations and Advocacy at the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, addressed the UN Security Council. She said that the two-week closure of the Rafah crossing has, quote, prevented the entry of 82,000 metric tons of supplies, including critical food items and medicines. She added that the Kerem Shalom crossing, quote, which has been the main entry point for critical aid, remains open in principle, but extremely difficult for aid organizations to access from the Gaza side due to hostilities, challenging logistical conditions, and complex coordination procedures. Wasornu stated that regarding the northern land routes, Erez Crossing, which was opened for 8 days at the beginning of the month, has since been closed, and the newly opened Erez West, quote, is now being used for limited quantities of aid, but now areas in the vicinity of this crossing are also under evacuation orders. To be frank, she added, we are running out of words to describe what is happening in Gaza. We have described it as a catastrophe, a nightmare, a hell on earth. It is all of these and worse. According to data from the United Nations, 1.1 million people, half of the Gaza Strip, are facing catastrophic levels of food insecurity. The UN Health Cluster warned of a further surge in malnutrition and communicable diseases, including hepatitis A, due to, quote, large-scale displacement toward areas that continue to lack basic necessities such as water and food. The United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, stated on Tuesday that food distributions in Rafah have been suspended due to lack of supplies and insecurity. The agency added that only 7 out of 24 UNRWA health centers are operational, and in the last 10 days, they have not received any medical supplies due to Rafah and Kerem Shalom crossing closures and disruptions. The head of the World Health Organization stated on Tuesday that, quote, crossings from Egypt into Gaza have remained closed for 2 weeks, cutting off the primary pipeline for emergency health supplies into Gaza. All over Gaza, the impact of the incursions and evacuation orders are being felt. 6 hospitals and 9 primary health centers have been impacted. Over 70 shelters have now lost access to their medical points. Citing UN officials, Reuters reported on Monday that not only has food and medicine for Palestinians in Gaza piled up in Egypt because the Rafah crossing remains closed, but the promises made by U.S. officials about aid being delivered through a $320 million temporary pier have not been followed through. U.S. Central Command boasted on Friday that it had begun the delivery of aid from the U.S.-built temporary pier, providing photographs showing trucks only partially filled with aid boxes. But those deliveries stopped being delivered to the shore as of Sunday, after only 26 trucks in 2 days arrived on shore. The U.S. Army said the pier would initially transport 90 trucks a day and 120 at its full capacity, still a fraction of those handled at the various land crossings. Meanwhile, Israeli forces have continued to order doctors, staff, and patients to leave healthcare centers and hospitals while bombing those facilities. In northern Gaza on Tuesday, Israeli tanks surrounded Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lahia, firing rounds at the gates of the emergency department. Scenes of displaced families and hospital staff being forced to push patients in gurneys down the streets strewn with rubble and amid Israeli fire circulated on social media. Another video showed patients fleeing the hospital. A journalist spoke with a young girl carrying baby formula and diapers as she fled the hospital with her mother and baby sibling, whose head was wrapped in a bandage.
I am scared. I am scared. Come on, Mom. Now Palestinians are fleeing Kamal Adwan Hospital. Where are you going? I don't know. What happened? They bombed our home. Now we are fleeing. We don't know.
And another video showed medical staff evacuating premature infants from Kamal Adwan Hospital without anything to wrap them in but hospital scrubs and other pieces of clothing. The head of the World Health Organization said that Kamal Adwan Hospital was reportedly bombed 4 times on Tuesday, damaging the intensive care unit, reception, administration, and the roof. Quote, over the past few weeks, intense hostilities have reportedly occurred in the vicinity of the hospital that resulted in an increased influx of injured patients to the already overstretched facility. Kamal Adwan is the largest partially functional hospital in northern Gaza and the only one providing hemodialysis services. Evacuation of health workers and patients would make the hospital non-functional, further depleting health services in northern Gaza. On Tuesday, journalist Anas Al-Sharif filmed himself and his colleagues narrowly surviving an Israeli attack on the hospital.
قصف بوابة مستشفى كمال عدوان من قبل قوات الاحتلال الإسرائيلي الآن قصف عنيف على مستشفى كمال عدوان محمود تعال تعال.
At the nearby Al-Awda Hospital, which has been under siege since Saturday, nearly 150 hospital staff and 22 patients and their companions have been trapped inside the hospital without running water or basic supplies. Local sources told Al Jazeera that Israeli tanks invaded the north of Jabalia camp and surrounded Al-Awda Hospital on Tuesday, with snipers aiming at the hospital buildings. I asked Dr. Dorothea Gucciardo, a Canadian physician who is in Rafah right now as part of her work with the GLIA project, to send us a report via voice message on the medical situation and the attacks on Al-Awda and other hospitals across Gaza. She sent us this report yesterday.
Medical situation here in Gaza has reached catastrophic levels. Even before Israel's genocide, its siege on the Gaza Strip caused a severe shortage of life-saving medicine, fuel, electricity, and clean water. But the last 8 months has seen a systemic attack on every single healthcare facility, leading to the complete collapse of the indigenous healthcare system in Gaza. And these attacks, as we've seen, are not just one-time events. Back in December 2023, the Israeli army besieged Al Auda Hospital in the north. They killed, they injured, they arrested healthcare workers, such as the director of the hospital. And today, yet again, the Israeli army is attacking this facility. Snipers have been shooting through windows, and artillery has targeted the administrative department of that building. 148 staff members and 22 patients are surrounded by military tanks. I want to repeat that. This is a hospital that the Israeli army has surrounded with tanks. No one can get in or out. I mean, this is pure madness. And in the south, the mass displacement of people has meant that hospitals have essentially cleared out. Since Israel issued its evacuation orders in East Rafah 2 weeks ago, over 800,000 Palestinians, already displaced 2, 3, 4 times, once again have packed up their belongings, their meager supplies, their memories, in search of safety that doesn't exist. There is no safe space in Gaza. Every single time they flee, they're forced to leave a few more things behind. Many people can't afford the transportation needed to move, so they carry what they can in their arms or on their backs in the scorching heat. Most have fled to the coastal area of Mawasi and the middle region of Khan Yunis. If they're lucky, they can find a spot of land to set up their tents, which are made from ripped plastic, blankets, or bags of flour sewn together. In Mawasi, they set up their tents in sand. In Khan Yunis, they set up their tents over the rubble of their destroyed homes. Some physician friends who have fled Rafah have limited means of transport between the areas to which they've been displaced and the facility they work in. One doctor I know who relocated his family to Khan Yunis hops onto the back of a truck filled with other forcibly displaced workers to get to Rafah. And then he walks home at the end of his shift because he cannot afford to pay for transportation twice a day. It takes him 3 hours every night to walk home. He sent me a text message late at night the other day to tell me that his feet were still shaking, a fact that he didn't want to share with his family because he didn't want to worry them. For all of us on the ground, the situation is becoming more and more dangerous. By coming to Gaza, we all accept a certain level of risk, but there must be protections. Healthcare and humanitarian workers must be protected. Losing the lives of colleagues is not an option. It's never been an option, and we cannot accept this as an option. Yet as of the end of April, Israel has already killed 254 humanitarian workers. 8 months into this depraved war, and Israel has killed more than 480 healthcare workers, with countless others having been interrogated, beaten, or kidnapped. And for what? For providing life-giving services to a population under siege.
That was Dr. Dorothea Gucciardo of the GLIA Project reporting for us from Rafah on Tuesday. Over the weekend, it was reported that an elderly Palestinian man, Bilal Adjamala, was released by Israeli occupation forces from the Netzarim military checkpoint in central Gaza. He was reportedly shot in the back as he was released, still handcuffed with zip ties, and showed signs of severe torture. Palestinian rights groups have long documented the systematic torture of Palestinians by Israeli forces, but more details are emerging from those who were abducted from Gaza, confined, and tortured in Israeli detention camps over the last 8 months. The Geneva-based Euromed Human Rights Monitor released a report on Tuesday documenting the testimonies of Palestinians who were recently released from Israeli detention. Their testimonies in the report, titled Hostages of Israeli Revenge in the Gaza Strip, quote, confirm that the Israeli authorities and army committed horrific crimes of arbitrary detention, enforced disappearance, torture, and inhuman and cruel treatment against thousands of Palestinian civilians who were arrested as part of Israel's genocide in the Gaza Strip, ongoing since October 7th, 2023. The report is based on statements, testimonies, and in-person interviews that the Euromed Monitor team conducted with 100 detainees, including men, women, children, the elderly, and displaced individuals who had been released from Israeli army custody following ground operations in different parts of the Gaza Strip. Euromed says that, quote, the information gathered concludes that the Israeli army routinely commits widespread crimes of arbitrary arrest, enforced disappearance, premeditated murder, torture, inhuman treatment, sexual violence, and denial of a fair trial. It also confirms that the Israeli army used physical and psychological torture against Palestinian civilian detainees, including beatings with the intent to kill, sexual violence, electrocution, blindfolding, and long-term hand and foot shackles. Israel also denied them access to food and medical care, including critical and life-saving care, spat and urinated on detainees, and committed other cruel and degrading acts, in addition to psychological abuse, including rape and death threats, verbal harassment, and other forms of sexual violence. In the occupied West Bank, the Israeli military raided the Jenin refugee camp again on Tuesday morning, and at airtime, the invasion is ongoing for the second day. Israeli forces have killed 8 people, including at least 2 children, a doctor, and a teacher. More than 20 people have been wounded. Israeli soldiers also detained and fired on medics and ambulance crews who were trying to reach and treat the injured during the raid, and destroyed roads and infrastructure with armored bulldozers. The director of nursing at the Jenin governmental hospital stated on Tuesday that Israeli soldiers shot at civilians in the hospital courtyard and besieged and bulldozed the adjacent streets. Our colleague Tamara Nassar reports that undercover Israeli agents, so-called Mistaravim, infiltrated the city of Jenin before their unit was exposed, prompting armed Palestinians to exchange fire with them. She added that the Jenin Brigade, a group associated with Saraya al-Quds, the military wing of Islamic Jihad, said its fighters have been resisting the Israeli incursion into the Jenin refugee camp and surrounding areas, confronting the occupying forces with gunfire. The group announced that it detonated explosive devices aimed at Israeli armored vehicles and infantry troops, both within and on the outskirts of the refugee camp. It claimed to have directly inflicted casualties among the ranks of the occupation forces and damaged their vehicles. The Palestinian rights group Al-Haq stated earlier today that homes have been demolished, the streets are destroyed, and that all aspects of life have been disrupted in Jenin. For much more on the ongoing Jenin raid, read Tamara Nassar's report, Doctor, Teacher, and Children Killed by Israel in Jenin, which will be up shortly on electronicintifada.net. And finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists in Gaza who are not just relentlessly documenting the unspeakable atrocities, but also making sure to highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. Northern Gaza journalist Hossam Shabat took this selfie with his colleagues last week with the caption, "Still going strong, 222 days of coverage. We do all this for the love of our people and homeland." Reporter Maha Husseini shared this video. She says that these Palestinian youth arrived in Deir Abala to flee the bombing in Rafah, but they managed to find a moment to play volleyball while setting up their tents on the beach. Children in northern Gaza were interviewed by a local reporter after she saw them gathered around a phone, listening to a new song, Hinz Hall, by the U.S. artist Macklemore. The song celebrates the student intifada around the world and is a tribute to Hind Rajab, the 6-year-old Gazawi girl who was killed by Israeli forces along with her relatives in a car in January.
I passed by some children. They were listening to a song by Macklemore on TikTok. Hello, what is your name?
Yes,
what are you listening to?
Macklemore.
Who did he sing it for? To the girl hand. The girl that was locked in the ambulance. He sang it for her. Do you use TikTok to see what people post about us? Yes. And what message would you like to give him? At first, we thought that nobody was standing with us. But it turns out that he was sharing our stories and our situation. And I would like to thank Macklemore for supporting us. I would like to thank him very much. I'm Yazan from Northern Gaza. I would like to thank him a lot. Say goodbye to him.
Bye. And activist Ahmed Madoun shared this video of a man and a young boy working together to clear rubble and debris and laying bricks, rebuilding their home in Gaza. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our phenomenal writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out this week's full-length show with interviews, reports, and analysis, online news articles, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman and Tamara Nassar.